Blog Talk Radio.
I am your hair's worst nightmare, and I can't wait to do wonderfully horrible things to your hair. Instead of those curls, how about a little humidity-induced unruly frizziness?
Your hair has enemies. It needs a friend, like beauty brands and our $8.99 annual hairspray event. Save up to 70% on over 100 salon professional hairsprays and dry shampoos. Brands like Redken, Sexy Hair, TG, and more, all starting at just $8.99. Visit a beauty brand's location near you or beautybrands.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
What do rabbits and Easter eggs and chocolate candy have to do with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Where did the name Easter originate? This holiday isn't even mentioned in the Bible. So where did it come from? Today, on Pathways to Truth Radio, the origin of Easter and the resurrection of Christ. Y'all gonna be mad at us after this moment. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Once again, welcome to Pathways of Truth Radio. I'm your host, Nick Danger. Joining me for the 243rd time, Brother Frank Billions.
Yes, sir, man. It keeps piling up, man. It keeps piling up, man. Welcome to the show, Pathways to Truth Nation, man. Hey, Nick, the resurrection of Christ Jesus.
Frank, I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, I gave us a few extra minutes today because I know we're going to run over. So I don't want you to feel like you got rushed today. We're going back. I don't think we're going to use all of it, but I gave us 2 hours today. Okay.
All right.
So I just wanted you to know that clock in your head.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Okay. Okay, so when I was being ministered to, I'm so excited, man! I got to get right into this. I was with the Holy Ghost until 3:30 this morning. He was still pouring into me.
Yeah.
All right. This is what I want y'all to do. Anybody that's listening, I want y'all right now to get you a notepad and a couple sharp pencils, because y'all gonna have to take some notes today. Because I'm not gonna exhaust everything that I give you. Is going to require you to really go and do some research on this. But I'm going, between me and Frank, we're going to give you enough to know that what we're telling you is the truth, but we want you to have a Berean spirit and go and look for yourself. How's that? Brother Frank, I'm going to let you go ahead and say your 2 cents before we get ready
going.
Let's
just dive in, man.
Okay. All right. As a boy, I know everybody remembers, as we was little boys, that this is the holy grail of holidays for Christians. That Easter is bigger than Christmas. Okay, that might sound like blasphemy, but think about this. This is the more preparation for the pageantry. I call it pageantry because y'all know what I'm talking about. If you black or Hispanic, or even if you poor white folk, y'all get all y'all Easter candy, your Easter egg hunts, and y'all brand new suits, haircuts, and fingernails, pedicures, manicures, new shoes. Hey, y'all, we used to walk to church because our church was in the neighborhood, so we didn't have to ride in the car. We used to promenade down East Ferry Street with our new suits on, trying not to scuff our shoes on them uneven sidewalks in the urban environment. Hey, we walk slow. All right. What I'm saying is there was a spirit around Easter that this was the big day. This was the day that Christ rose from the dead. Okay, Frank, here's my opening thesis.
Yes.
Jesus Christ did not die on Good Friday, and he did not raise from the dead on Easter Sunday. I'm going to prove it.
Bro, you coming out
swinging. Brother Frank, Good Friday is a manufactured holiday, and Easter had absolutely nothing to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Holy smoke, man. Man, hey, man. Look, man, when I hear the truth, man, I can only agree, man. The truth is invincible. You know what I mean? I can't deny it. I can't defend it. Hey, man, the truth is the truth, man.
All right. Give me a minute. I just need a minute to set this foundation. I'm going to let you come on in here.
All right.
Okay. Brother Frank, I had some Christians together this week at work, and they were amazed to find that the Bible doesn't even mention Easter. They were amazed. When I told them that Good Friday was a sham, and that Easter wasn't in the Bible, and that Jesus Christ wasn't raised from the dead on Sunday, man, I thought they was going to kill me up in that break room. They were going crazy.
Man,
what you talking about, man? I said, listen, I saw them, y'all just give me 5 minutes. Y'all pull this information up on y'all little smartphones. So y'all got smartphones. So y'all know y'all ain't bring y'all Bible to work, but you pull it up on your smartphone. Okay, watch this. All right, here we go. So the word Easter, I said, in Acts 12:4, is the incorrect translation. So write down. Remember I told y'all get y'all notepad. Write down. I'm not reading it. Acts 12:4. Translation for the Greek word is Pascha, P-A-S-C-H-A, which refers to Passover, not Easter. Pascha is Passover, not Easter. Now, this mistake, the translation has been corrected in modern translations of the New Testament, but initially, it was misinterpreted. Secondly, Easter did not originate with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Easter goes back to Oestre, which is an Anglo-Saxon god spring. That's E-O-S-T-R-E. Okay. To Estor, which is E-O-S-T-U-R. That's the Scandinavian word for the spring season. Ishtar, I-S-H-T-A-R, the ancient spring goddess of Near Eastern countries, and also Ashtoreth, which appears in the Bible, which is A-S-H-T-O-R-E-T-H. These are all connected to spring festivals, springtime fertility festivals that originated with pagan religions. All the customs and all the symbols that we use even today can be directly tied to Easter's pre-Christian origin. 2 more minutes, Brother Frank.
Go ahead.
If you go to the Encyclopedia Britannica, now I know you new folks, we all don't know nothing about that. These are actually books that you can read. This predated Google, Okay. The encyclopedia describes the customs of Easter as having been handed down from ancient ceremonial and symbolic European and Middle Eastern pagan spring festivals. The one symbol, the Easter bunny, okay, is the modern replacement for the hare, okay, which is another word for hare, H-A-R-E, is another word for the symbol of fertility going all the way back to ancient Egypt. So the bunny, because of its proclivity for reproduction, has always been a symbol of fertility, which a lot of people associated with having harvest for spring and so on and so forth. Easter ham, the famous Easter ham. Okay. Because the pig was considered a symbol of luck in pre-Christian European culture. Again, the Encyclopedia of Religion. You can look at that. And then lastly, the Easter egg is traditional folk religion. The egg is a powerful symbol of fertility, purity, and rebirth. It was used in magical rituals to promote fertility and restore virility. Okay, again, for reproduction, to bring good weather, to encourage the growth of crops, and to protect cattle and children against misfortune and the evil eye. Okay. I'm stopping right there. That's Easter. I said in my opening statement, Easter don't have nothing to do with the resurrection of Jesus. All right, man. Go ahead.
Boy, man. What an opening, man. You know, in all our getting, God's word says to get understanding. And I thank you, man, for, you know, man, week in and week out, man, you do a lot of research on stuff, man, and you be able to bring us give us the understanding and the true meaning behind stuff. So we appreciate you taking the time out, man, to continue to teach us and educate us, man, on about the truth of things, man. So as you was laying that out for us, Brother Nick, man, all I could think about is how Easter is manufactured.
Yes.
Okay. See, and to understand the manufacturing process, you have to use things that are manufactured to help you to get the image across to people so they can believe in the manufacturing of what they are doing. So
yes.
What I'm saying is that, see, Easter is manufactured like those white chickens, white eggs, white turkeys, white mouse,
crazy
white rabbits, white dirt, white pigs. See, those are manufactured things that they're using. See, when you have a white rabbit, you don't see white rabbits out in the wild. Those manufactured. The white chicken, look, I saw a whole truckload full of white turkeys. White chickens, they carrying white chickens. Look, that stuff is manufactured. Okay, what I mean is that they have been denatured. See, yeah. Most chickens, we were talking about this yesterday, most chicken, chicken farm or a chicken coop, those chickens in there, they're laying brown eggs.
Yeah.
So they done manufactured these white eggs and these white chickens. So Easter, because it's manufactured, now you can paint and color those white eggs. The manufactured eggs, you painting the color in them, and you thinking that has something to do with Christ Jesus.
Yes.
You don't fell into the world system, the world's way of doing things. So it's something how, you know, the majority of the people, because of lack of knowledge, though, Brother Nick, that we will follow anything without getting understanding. We'll just do it because everybody else is doing it, because everybody else is doing it. Nobody ever thinks to meditate and study and look up stuff in God's word to get the true meaning behind stuff, although God tells us all throughout his word, man, study to show yourself approved, man. Man, get understanding on that.
Yes.
So you week in and week out give us understanding about stuff, and we will still go ahead. Although we have understanding, we will still go ahead and still do the same old thing. Brother Nick, man, you are so true, because the purpose, there is a purpose for the resurrection, and it's not the East Star.
No. No, sir.
It has nothing to do with the pageantry you're talking about.
Nope.
Nick, I guarantee you, they're up in there this morning hoofing and hollering about something that they have no understanding about. Look,
exactly.
I can almost guarantee you that nobody will leave church today understanding what the resurrection and the purpose that God had for the resurrection is for. See, most of them think that the resurrection is about Christ Jesus. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't get ahead of myself. But we're going to clear it up so we can get some understanding.
Yeah.
You know, because what happens a lot of times, we don't have understanding on it, man. You know, so... So let's continue on, man, and we're gonna get through some of this stuff, man. Because, man, when you laid out the pageantry for me, Nick, that opened my eyes up to realize that, you know, I was dressed up, getting my Easter suit, going into the sanctuary, but Nick, I was a dressed up mess.
Yes.
Look, man, I'm dressed up, but I'm a mess, though.
Yes, sir.
I'm still walking in sin, still walking in transgression, but I got all that covered up with my Easter suit.
Yes, sir.
Never mind, I just left my house, and my room is a mess because I don't clean up, right? And I'm going like... I'm all that. Oh. Never mind, my brother and I just got to fighting before we came to church. And Mama get mad at me because she didn't want us to mess about our Easter and wrinkle up our Easter suit, mess about our new haircut, you know. I'm going into the church house like nothing is wrong with my life, Nick.
That's it?
Oh, man. Let me not jump ahead, man. Come on back in, man. Let me calm down.
Okay. All right. it's hard not to be passionate about this. Actually, it's impossible not to be passionate about this subject if you are a believer. There's one other thing that I wanted to talk about this pre-Christian resurrection celebrations, because the resurrection celebrations, again, because Christians have notoriously been followers and idolaters, and it still goes true today, right? I mean, we have to have these symbols. We needed to have a god like the other gods that we could see, feel, and touch. We needed to have idols. The time of the manufacturing, as you to earlier, of the idols of Diana set records for sales back in early Christendom. I mean, there wasn't any place throughout the whole Empire of Rome where you couldn't get a doll of Diana.
Yeah.
And so there's something we have always, Christians have always been had a hunger and thirst for. Okay, so watch this. So this is in the Bible now. This is in the Bible. Celebrating the resurrection of a deceased god in the springtime predated Christianity by thousands of years. And chief among those celebrations was the honor of Tammuz, which is T-A-M-M-U-Z, which is the Babylonian goddess, the Babylonian god of pasture and flocks and of vegetation. Now Tammuz, now listen closely, he was the husband and brother of Ishtar, or Asherath, which is the goddess of fertility. Now, I'm not going to go too fast here. So we have two gods here, okay, involved in incest that the Christians worship. This is in the Bible.
Yeah.
Tammuz and Ishtar are in the Bible. These are the people that God was about ready to wipe us out for. All right, that's another story. Y'all got to read that for yourself. Okay, the Babylonians taught that Tammuz was mystically revived from death in the spring. Now, this is important for what I'm going to be saying next, so listen closely. Tammuz was mystically revived from death in the spring by the anguish and crying of Ishtar, who was the same as the pagan goddess Asherah, referred to in Judges 2 and 13, Judges 10 and 6, and 1 Kings 11 and 5. Okay. His supposed resurrection marked the end of winter and the beginning of spring. The Bible shows that idolatry and sun worship connected with Ishtar and Tammuz became so widespread and influential that they were practiced even by people who had once known the God of heaven and fallen into the wrong kind of idolatry. That's in Ezekiel 8, Jeremiah 7, and Jeremiah 44. All right. I told you to get your notepad. Just write these down. You can go back and read them. I ain't got time to read through all of these scriptures today. All right. Now, watch this. Here comes the changes. Okay, here's the subtle change. So you can say, how did these customs and practices become associated with true events such as the Passover and the resurrection of Christ? I'm glad you asked. Here it goes. I'm going to give you four real quick things. Number one, the Roman government regarded the early Christian church as a branch of Jewish religion. Number two, because early Christians staunchly observed the same laws and religious celebrations as the Jews did. Later, number three, when the Jews became persecuted by Rome because of the two revolts that the Jews had against Rome in A.D. 47, Christians chose to disassociate themselves from the Jewish beliefs, okay, because they were being too closely identified with Judaism. Okay, so watch this. What happened was, instead of worshiping on Saturday, which was the Sabbath, they started worshiping on Sunday, like the Romans did. That's why Christians, okay, go to church on Sunday. And Romans, they venerated Sunday because they worshiped the sun god. That's what Sunday meant.
That's it.
Okay, I'm going to stop right there. That's why those of y'all that go to church on Sunday. It ain't because Sunday is holy. It's because Sunday was a day of release, where the Christians went into partnership with their Roman oppressors to keep them being oppressed. Oh,
wow.
I told you this was going to get good today.
That's how we got to Sunday,
Brother Frank. That's all I want to say. That's how we got to Sunday. As a result of persecution.
result of persecution, man. Nick, man.
Go ahead.
You're making me think, man, that, okay, with this resurrection, man, the one that John the Baptist and Jesus was telling us about is here.
Yes.
He's present today. The Holy Spirit, the way, the truth, and the life, the Comforter, he's not dead. He's alive and well, and he's here today.
Absolutely.
Listen, the resurrected Christ is alive and well. Look, that means that I don't need Pastor John the Baptist when the King of Glory is here. You got to hear what I'm saying. You don't need what Jesus was saying to us. You don't need me, the Prince of Peace, when the King of Glory is here. The King is here.
Yeah.
Look, you don't need the Prince when the King is here.
Amen.
Man, the King is come. That's what the Bible say. It said that the King is come. So
yes.
It is not coming. It's here.
Yeah.
So how foolish is it for Jesus to die for you and lead you to the Father, and you still follow Jesus? Okay, you got to understand what I'm saying. Okay, look, man. He's saying the one that I'm trying to get you to, he's here, so you don't follow me. You follow after the Spirit of God now.
Yeah.
So he's saying the resurrection. So we must understand that the resurrection of Christ is all about it's about that God, our Lord, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. See, the resurrection is what God was using Jesus for, is to give you wisdom and understanding and get the revelation of who God is. Look, not who Jesus is. He's trying to get you the understanding of who he is. So he's trying to open your eyes of your understanding so you will be enlightened, that you may know that the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what his power is all about. See, his power is exceeding. He wants you to know that his power is exceeding. It's his greatness of his power to usward who believe. See, all this stuff about the resurrection is for to help you to get revelation and understanding and wisdom so that you may believe.
Yeah.
The whole thing about the resurrection is for God to help you to believe in him. See, you're chasing after Easter, and you're supposed to be getting understanding so that you can become a believer.
Yeah.
So we know, Nick, that throughout the nation, they're teaching foolishness because nobody is becoming believers. The Christians are going into the church and coming out Christians.
Yes.
Oh. See, they're not coming out believers. They're not coming out with understanding. They're not coming out with wisdom. They're not coming out with revelation of the resurrection and what the resurrection wasn't supposed to be about. They still coming out praising Jesus.
Yeah. That's it. That's it.
Look, man.
That's good, friend.
Nick, Jesus left because
Christians would still want to follow him and have him as their pastor, even though he has shown them the one that was greater than he.
Yep.
How do I know this? Because they did the same thing to John the Baptist. John the Baptist showed them who Jesus was, and these nuts still follow John the Baptist.
Yep.
It sure did. Jesus came to show them the same thing, and they still don't have wisdom and revelation and understanding, so they seek after Easter instead of the resurrection.
That's good.
You have to identify with the resurrection. Look, man, this is the pathway of Truth Nation. This is what we're talking to. You don't need a pastor. The host, the Lord of hosts is here. The King of Glory is here. That's what we're saying. If you understand the revelation, the resurrection, then that means that you understand who your Father really is. And when you get connected to your Father, you don't need anybody else. Wow.
That's good, Frank. That's really good. It's critical what you're saying, because this is the transition. This controversy over the days of worship is really how subtle the devil is. He always works from a position of confusion, where the Holy Spirit works from a position of clarity. I can't be any clearer what I'm saying. You can't be any clearer what you're saying. Okay, because we got the revelation of truth from the Holy Spirit. But the Christians, they want, listen, I say that when the Holy Spirit gave me this 4 years ago, he said this: present the evidence. Okay, give them the truth. Okay, and let the chips fall where they may. He said, because people will believe what they want to believe no matter how compelling the evidence will be to the contrary. The compelling truth is that Jesus Christ is dead. The Holy Spirit is alive. Okay, you say, Brother Nick, the Bible says Jesus as the man died on the cross. He was buried in a tomb. But the resurrected Christ, it was the anointing, the Spirit of God that raised him from the dead. That's what the Bible said. So his mortal body was quickened or made alive, turned into a spirit, and sits at the right hand of the Father. That's Bible 101. Okay, now watch this. So the pagan festival that honored Easter, the goddess of the spring, replaced the Christian Passover. See, the Christian Passover is the very first of three very prominent festivals. The Passover, the festival of the unleavened bread, okay? That's the second one, the Passover. We're going to go to that in a minute. So the Passover was symbolic of when the Jews were freed from Egyptian bondage, and they pass over into the promised land. That's what the celebration of that particular festival was all about. Okay, so the pagan festival Easter replaced the Christian Passover, because in Rome, Easter was celebrated on Sunday following the full moon after the spring equinox and was a memorial of the resurrection. Now, watch this, Frank. You just said this. Note this. This is critical, folks. The Christian Passover, instituted by Jesus, commemorated his death. Not his resurrection. Okay, look. This is what I'm saying. Jesus said, I am the Passover. I am the Passover. I became sin and death for you, so that you could pass over into eternity.
Yes.
there is no command in the Bible by Jesus or his apostles to solemnize or memorialize his resurrection. Okay, what am I saying here? This is what I'm saying. Watch this. I want to say this real plain. Jesus highlighted what was to be accomplished by his death in instituting a new symbol for the new covenant, meaning of the Passover. This is in Matthew 26, Mark 14, and Luke 22. He was the Lamb of God who offered himself as the true Passover sacrifice. Remember that in the Old Testament, the original Passover, they needed it, what? The unblemished lamb. Frank, you talked about this 2 weeks ago, how meticulous they were, okay, about selecting the lamb that was unblemished and how all of the chief priests came together and they went over that bad boy with like a, listen now, not one hair could be out of place.
No.
Right?
Yeah,
but
that's right.
But none of those sacrifices, not one of those sacrifices, was able to keep God from wanting to kill us. Is that too hard? Okay, so this the true Passover ceremony observed by Jesus and commanded by him for his followers was replaced by Easter, a day neither he nor the early New Testament church approved of. Jesus didn't sanction Easter. You think Jesus didn't know that they were celebrating Easter? Okay, all right. I know this is too much for many people. What are you saying? Okay, so here we go. Okay, we're going to get to the fun part now.
Yeah.
Now we're going to talk about, Brother Frank, we're going to talk about these festivals. I was thinking to myself yesterday, what went on for 200 years was the Gentile Christians wanting to celebrate Easter on Sunday on the 14th of Nisan, which is in the Hebrew calendar, which is the Friday observed as the day of the crucifixion of Christ. There was a group of religious zealots called quarto decimans, meaning that's the Latin word for 14, quarto decimans. Okay. They insisted on the observance of the Christian Passover on the correct biblical date, which would have been the Thursday instead of the Friday. Okay. Watch this. Listen closely. In the mid-second century, okay, your boy Constantine,
there you go,
Constantine, they went back and forth on this day for two. Constantine said, look, this was as a result of the Council of Nicaea. This is another one of the things that was in the Council of Nicaea. You have to research this. Nicaea is N-I-C-E-A. Write this down in your notes, folks. Research the Council of Nicaea. This was one of the main points was Constantine required throughout the whole empire that people observe Easter on Sunday rather than the date it was supposed to be celebrated on. Okay, this was in A.D. 325. Okay. What we're saying is that Constantine instituted empire-wide observance of a pagan holiday.
Yeah.
The reason for the dilution of the messiahship of Jesus Christ in the eyes of the world was because of the confusion over these ancient rituals, these idols, and this witchcraft that was going on. This is how the enemy takes quote-unquote Christian pastors and preachers and leaders and bishops and apostles and all these other names, gives them their direction to confuse the sheep. Constantine was an instrument of the devil. He was used by the devil to confuse the early church. And the early church submitted to it because of ignorance and fear. You're not getting this on Sunday morning. There ain't no Easter bunnies in this story. there ain't no candy, Brother Frank, and there ain't no Easter eggs.
No. We are talking about how you are supposed to understand your spiritual heritage. See, while these boys was trying to keep you in a carnal state of mind for their own selfish gain, you go lacking spiritual understanding and spiritual wisdom and spiritual revelation because you stuck in a carnal mindset. So you miss the exhortation in Jesus Christ. See what we were saying, Nick, about what most people don't understand is that, and what they don't look at is everything is pointing towards Jesus being raised from the dead instead of how did he get raised from the dead?
Yeah.
See, they don't focus on the one that used the power to raise him from the dead. See, the focus is supposed to be on the one that had the power, not the one that was being raised.
Yes.
So God's saying that same power that I use to wrath, okay, check this out now. He says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in the heavenly places. Okay, he didn't say Jesus Christ. He didn't say Christ Jesus. He said, which he wrought in Christ when he raised Christ from the dead.
Yeah.
See, what he's trying to get you to understand is that you are a spirit, and spirit raised spirit. See, okay, here. See, the spirit has the power inside your body. Your body is just a shell. So you have a flesh nature and a spirit nature. So God is trying to get you to focus on your spirit nature instead of your carnal flesh nature. So by you walking after the spirit, you can get wisdom and understanding that you don't need a pastor. What we're trying to say, look, you don't need to buy an Easter suit. You don't need to get your kids an Easter dress and go and pay $15, $20 for your kid a haircut on Saturday so they can look good on Sunday morning. Look, you don't have to go to sunrise service, get up on Sunday morning, go to sunrise service. You don't have to do that. Look, he is alive. He's risen. He's walking with us. He's walking with us every day. He is the power thereof. See, Nick, I was thinking about this right here, man. I was thinking about this, man. Why are you not working on your relationship with Christ? Instead of you working on your relationship with Christ, you would much rather go listen to a guy on Sunday morning that has 20 women pregnant in your congregation.
Yeah.
Look, Nick, who does the devil think he is fooling but the fools? See, the devil fools fools. The devil pulls the same April Fool's trick every Sunday, every year.
Yeah.
The Christians fall for the same April Fool trick every year, man.
Yes, sir.
So what the devil called them, silly rabbits. See, man, bruh. let's just say, Nick, you was raised from the dead, man, 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say, Nick, after you had been, you know, brutally, man, beaten, you know, and, I mean, to a pulp, man, to the point of death, and, Nick, now, you've been raised from that, and I'm hanging with you week in and week out for the last 5 years, Nick, why would I want to continue to bring up how brutally you were beaten 5 years ago?
That's good. Your point.
Nick, man, you know how mad you would be at me, man? You keep, if I keep bringing up you, man, you remember how beat, how mad they beat you down, man?
Yeah.
Man, them boys killed you, man. Yeah. I keep doing that, man. Every year I'm doing that to you. But, Nick, you alive and walking with me, bruh. How would you feel if every year I brought up how you died?
Okay.
Man. God showed me a picture of how you look, and he showed me how I take your testimony and I take your story, and I remember you every year, and I have a celebration for you, Nick, every year. Like, does me, does you, Nick. I'm having a celebration on your behalf every year. Look, man, I'm taking up millions of dollars every year on your behalf. Look, you lie, you're alive, though, Nick.
Yeah,
and I don't give you a, Nick, and I don't give you a dime.
Yeah.
I mean, man, I don't even really say nothing to you, man. Look, this how foolish this is, man. It's a mockery to me, man, for the word of God, man. I had a word of God here in the power of our Father and his exceeding greatness, the grace and the mercy that he showed towards us who was dead in our sins and in our transgressions. We were dead in them. And he used our elder brother, Jesus, as an example to revitalize us. And we never think about it. We still walk around as a dressed up mess. A dressed up trash can. Look, man, you mean to tell me that your Father is the King of Glory, right? And I thought about this. I did this to myself. I said, man, let me just take a look at myself, Nick. Look, I'm not looking at anybody else, man. I'm not looking at my wife, my kids. I'm not looking at my mom, my dad. I'm not looking at my brothers. I'm just looking at Frank, man. I'm just looking at him. And I'm thinking to myself, how are people going to know that God is my Father? I have to portray some type of characteristics of my daddy. Look, my daddy is the King of Glory, and you get in my car, and my car is a trash can. You come to my house, and my house look a mess. Man, look, man, Nick, I thought about, man, how would I feel if I go to my Father's house in glory and his house look a mess? Bruh, look, I know and you know it's the devil. Man, he has us so carnal-minded we can't even fathom and think spiritually, man, and of our Father to really give him thanks, man. To really give him thanks, man.
Yeah.
And Nick, he cleaned me up, man.
Yes, sir.
Nick, I was a mess, man. He decided to look at me and said that he'd been thinking about me. And his thought is of peace and not of evil, man. And to give me an expected end, man. He took the time, man, to clean me up, man. He took the time to show me some grace, man. I was in my sins, in my transgressions, man. He changed me, Nick. He used his resurrection power and raised me from the dead.
Yeah.
He put me in my right mind. He put me in my right mind as my as a husband. I can't be cheating on my wife. As a husband, as a father, how I gonna look? I'm cheating on my wife. I got daughters. What my kids are gonna think about me? You know, I can't be a drug addict in Christ. I can't be an alcoholic in Christ. I can't be an idolater, a molester in Christ. My life cannot be a mess in Christ. What kind of representation of Christ is that?
Yeah.
Then we do foolishness. We don't show the love of God to people. We don't show that our life is in peace. We don't show the joy of the Holy Ghost. And we walking around here like we okay. And we don't even fall down on our knees and thank God for his mercy and his grace, man, on our lives. Most of us do a poor job of representing the Father, man.
Yeah.
God showed me that these men are lovers of their own selves, man. As a matter of fact, he called them traitors. He called them heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, he tells me to turn away. I'm taking up money on your behalf every year and to buy me a $65 million airplane. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, man. The truth that you just laid out for us earlier. We ever learning and never coming to the full knowledge of that truth, man. That we being bamboozled with Easter and they taking us our money and then we're not even acknowledging the true Father.
Wow.
I know I went off on a rampage, man, but
it's okay.
But
it's a perfect segue to where we're going next, because this is going, we're going deeper, because I want everybody to again get your pad out. This is really going to be good. This next few minutes is going to be really good, because I was thinking to myself last night when I was driving home. Me and my wife had went on a ride, and I was like, after I dropped her off, had to make another run, pick up something that I forgot. And I was sitting at the light, and I said, Good Friday and Easter. Man, I had to pull over into the parking lot, Brother Frank. I was in the parking lot at the Walgreens. And I put out a little piece of paper and I started writing stuff down. Jonah said he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights.
Yeah.
Okay. I said, wait a minute. What you saying, Holy Ghost? He said, get out your paper. So I had a little piece of paper right there in my glove compartment. I got it Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I wrote down. Okay, so wait a minute. I said, I tried my best to fit 3 days in Friday to Sunday morning. All I could come up with was a day and a half.
Brother Frank, you the mathematician. You the numbers guy.
Yeah.
Hey, 1.5 can never be 3.
Never.
Okay, so watch this. So I said, he said, go to Matthew 12. Remember, the scribes and the Pharisees was asking Jesus for a sign to prove that he was the Messiah. Jesus only told them one thing. He said, the only sign I'm going to give you is that of the prophet Jonah. He said, for Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. That's Matthew 12, 38 through 40. Okay, wait a minute. Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. 3 nights.
Yeah.
Christians say Jesus rose on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
If he was crucified on Friday afternoon, that put him on Monday.
Yeah.
That's math.
I mean, he dead into Monday.
3 day weekend, you coming home on Monday. Every
yes,
one
sir.
Of us can add 3 day weekend.
Yes, sir.
Right? All right, watch this. What I'm going to prove to you right now, my opening statement before everybody, we got a slam pack. Our switchboard is packed right now. Okay, everybody. Well, thank y'all for staying home and listening to this truth today. That Jesus did not die on Good Friday. And he was not raised from the dead on Sunday morning. Okay, I'm going to prove. Here's the timeline. Here's the timeline. Get your pad out. All right. Remember I told y'all about them quarter decimens earlier. Quarto decimens. Okay. Okay, here's the chronology. It's going to take me about 8 minutes to do this, so listen closely. This is from their sacred calendar, okay, that the Hebrews use. Okay, remember, Jesus was a Jew. He wasn't a Christian. Ouch. Ouch. Okay. That Wednesday, if you go to the scriptures, okay, you'll notice in that it says this, that there was a day of preparation. All right. Each gospel has given an account of the events, okay, the chronology of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection, okay. The Bible does not contradict itself. The most important thing is that John talks about, in John 19:31, the most crucial point that provides insight into the day that Jesus actually was crucified, okay, and was raised from the dead, is that there was a preparation day that goes in accordance with the festival of the unleavened bread. I'm going to get to that in a minute. And John says by stating that they were approaching the Sabbath, it was a high day. Okay. Now, what I come to find out through my research is that during the festival of unleavened bread, there are two Sabbaths. The two Sabbaths, because it's a 7 day long festival, and either one of the festival the Sabbaths can start during the week, not on the weekend. Okay, if you go back to look at what the quarter decimens were fighting Constantine about, was they were saying that Nisan, which is the month, the 14th day, was a Thursday. This was the whole fight that went on for 200 years. They're saying 200 years, we're Hebrews. We're not Romans. We have to observe the festival of unleavened bread. There are several prominent things that happen during the festival of unleavened bread. Okay, what is leaven? Leaven is sin.
let's start there. The festival of unleavened bread was about the sincerity, love, and truth that people would renounce their sin for that week. They weren't even allowed to have leavened bread in their homes. Okay, the festival celebrated the exodus from Egypt, the Passover into the promised land. Remember, the modern-day Christians should recognize that Jesus became the Passover. And we said this earlier, sin and death, okay? And that the Holy Spirit lives in us, that's what Brother Frank was talking about, because that's what he died for, that the Holy Spirit could come, the Comforter could come. Seven main events happen during the Festival of Unleavened Bread. I'm just going to list them. I'm not going to go over them. You have to go read this for yourself. This is critical. The exodus from slavery in Egypt, number one, took place immediately after the Passover during the Festival of Unleavened Bread, Numbers 33 and 3. The second event, crossing of the Red Sea, was the last day of the festival. Number three, the conquest of Jericho occurred during the Festival of Unleavened Bread. Number four, rededication of the people of God back to their Creator. That happened twice. In 2 Chronicles 29 to 31, and in 2 Chronicles 34 to 35. That was the religious reform by King Hezekiah, and then the religious reform by King Josiah. That's 5 and 6. The seventh major event, 7 is perfection and completion in the numbers of God. On the seventh day, God rested. On the seventh day, the resurrection of Christ, sunset on Saturday, at the end of the week, during the Sabbath, that's when Jesus was raised from the dead. Thursday through Saturday. Okay. The high day that John talks about in John 19:31 is the first day of the festival, which was a holy day. Check Leviticus 23. It can fall on the day of the week. Okay, now watch this. Watch this. This is what the Holy Spirit showed me last night. I said, why the festival of the unleavened bread? Why the festival? He says, man, this is, just give me five more minutes, guys. I guarantee you, y'all going to praise Jesus like you never praised him before today. About the bread. I said, what about the bread? Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Right? The house of bread, that's what Bethlehem means. Beth is house. Bethel, house of God. Bethlehem is bread in Hebrew. That's where Jesus was born. John 12 says, the prophecy of Jesus' death, corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies. It dies alone, but brings forth much fruit. God fed the Jews in the desert with manna, which was bread. God fed the Christians with bread of life, John 6. Unleavened bread refers to the suffering of the Messiah. It was prophesied in Isaiah 53 and 5. Today, the Jews eat matzah. Y'all seen those little flat crackers? Dry as Melba toast. Okay, the matzah has stripes. Okay, this is a symbolic of Jesus. As you see those little brown stripes on it. The matzah wafers I'm talking about. Matzah has holes, symbolic of Jesus' piercing. And the matzah has no leaven or yeast. That's why, okay, it's flat. That means it has no sin. I'm almost there. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Okay, John 6:32. Okay, Jesus was born in Nazareth. Nazareth means branch. Isaiah 11:1-2 prophesied Jesus being the rod of Jesse. Check that out. Lastly, in conclusion, the festival of unleavened bread means this. It's the festival of sinless bread. Or
the festival of the sinless Christ. I hope I wasn't moving too fast. You have to go back and listen to this again. I want to make sure I get this in because this coincides with seven great events that happened during the course of our biblical history. The Festival of Unleavened Bread was the most critical of all of these events, as I just listed the events that took place, and the seventh and most critical one was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's no way mathematically that Jesus could have been raised from the dead if he died on Friday, on Sunday. The Bible, again, if you go back and do the research on this, you'll know that the words that are used, if you study the Greek, it'll show you that the Sabbath that they talk about Jesus being raised on was actually the plural and not the singular version, meaning the two Sabbaths, which can occur during the Festival of Unleavened Bread. And it makes sense biblically that Jesus would be the one that they would highlight because he was the Passover. And he was referred to as the bread of life. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but that's where we are.
that makes plenty of sense. You know what I mean? That's the knowledge and the understanding that we have to understand so that we may be able to apply God's word to our lives.
Yes.
See, this is a Christ-applied life. So it does no good for you to go in and out of a building to sit there and you can't say anything. You're just a pure warmer, and then you're coming out with no real understanding and no true knowledge. So God is all about knowledge and truth, man, and get understanding of it, so that we may be able to apply these things to our lives. But what happens, we stay in the leavened state. So in the leavened state, you stay in a sinful state.
Yes.
And in a sinful state of mind, you might do anything in your life in the sinful state. So what God is trying to do is get the sin out.
Mm-hmm.
He resurrected Christ from the dead in order to help you to understand that you can live a life of love, joy, and peace. He's saying that I resurrected Christ from the dead, I exalted him so that you may partake in my love, my joy, and my peace. See, what he's saying is that you were dead in your sins, you were dead in your transgressions, but I want you to know I used Christ Jesus to walk in you by the power of my Holy Spirit so that you will have life after the hurt, life after your sin, life after death. So that means that he's focusing on your heart, your mind, your body, and your soul because he's trying to get you in one state of mind, in one state of peace. So he used love, joy, and peace in order to unify that in you so that you may walk in the admonition and the characteristic of your Father, Christ Jesus. And then because what he's ultimately trying to get us to, Brother Nick, is that we may be content in godliness. See, he wants you to be content in him. In order for you to gain in this life, you have to be content in God. And being content in God, you have to mature, graduate from church school, and demonstrate to God that you can live this life without having somebody else's help. You can do it by the Spirit.
That's it. That's good.
Man, God is love. God is love. We are supposed to be the children of love. And what love does is love give. How about let's show the love of God to people? How about let's think less about ourselves and think more about God our Father and be a representation of your daddy? Stop being so selfish, self-centered. Stop being a lover of yourself and show love to others. God says that my riches is the grace and the mercy that you show because I show you grace and mercy. So we have allowed the enemy to bombard our minds with foolishness and folly, Nick.
Yes.
So
that's it.
So we just walk around, man, like we don't care. There's no loyalty to God, man. God needs some loyal folks to him. Folks that really love him, that really live for him, man, really live their life like God is watching you. He sees you. Live a life where you're not just willfully just walking in your sin.
Okay.
Folks love their sin so much, they never say no to anything, man. They sin, come calling, they always answer. They never turn down their sin. Oh, man. But I got my Easter suit on, and I got my Easter dress on, and I got my hair cut. Well, you have a form of godliness. Paul warned me about you people, the ones that have the form of godliness. He said that y'all going to be dressed up and y'all going to be looking godly, but inside and underneath them suits and them dresses, you're a mess. How do I know that? Because I was a mess. But I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and God wrought the Holy Spirit in me, so that he may be able to clean up my mindset and so that I may be able to live and be able to show the love of God to somebody, to help somebody out. Wow. Hey, bro.
There's a...
Hey, man.
There's just... Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. You good.
There's just one more thing that I want to get in. I want to make sure that I'm clear on this. I gave you the brief. I want to walk through this, and then after this, I'm done, personally. The sacred calendar, in terms of the Hebrew culture, the days begin at sunset versus daylight. This is where we get the confusion. Okay. On that Tuesday of that, of the Holy Week, Jesus ate the Passover meal with his disciples and instituted the new covenant symbols, okay? Okay, that's in Matthew 26. That's a Tuesday. Remember I told you about those quarter decimans? The quarter decimans, the Wednesday the 14th, that's the day that was the day of preparation before the annual Sabbath, not the weekly Sabbath. The weekly Sabbath is on Saturday. The annual Sabbath can occur any day during the week, but this week, because it's the Nisan 14, N-I-S-A-N 14, that was a Wednesday, and that was the day of preparation before the annual, not weekly, Sabbath. Remember I told you there was two Sabbaths. The annual Sabbath that goes during the Festival of Unleavened Bread. Okay. Jesus was betrayed by Judas, arrested, up to the high priest. Jesus was crucified about 9 a.m. that morning on Wednesday, died around 3
his body was placed in Joseph's tomb just before sunset. Okay. The Bible says that his body was prepared before the Sabbath in the scriptures in what Luke 23, they were talking about the high day Sabbath, not the weekly Sabbath. Okay, so this is Thursday, which is the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, which follows the day of preparation. That's Thursday. Okay, so three nights. And remember the ladies, the Bible says here, instead the high day mentioned by John, the Sabbath that occurred on Thursday that year. We know this because verse 56, this is Luke 23:56, shows that the women, after seeing Christ's body having been laid in the tomb just before the Sabbath began, which was Wednesday, returned and prepared spices and fragrance for the final preparation of the body. Okay, this work could only have been done on Friday, since it would have been considered a violation of the law if it were done on Saturday, which is the weekly Sabbath, and that would not have been allowed. Okay, y'all got that? Okay, now watch this. On Friday, the women brought and prepared the spices for Jesus' body, anointed him. This was the third day. The women rested on the Sabbath. On Sunday, the women brought the spices while it was still dark. Jesus had already risen. Okay. When they came on Sunday morning, Jesus was gone. Jesus rose exactly after 3 days and three nights in the tomb, which would have been Saturday. Completely is in line with biblical precedent that is outlined in the scriptures. All four of the gospels line up. If you understand two major points, there was an annual Sabbath and a weekly Sabbath. And once you get those days lined up, it's very easy to see that Good Friday and what we now know as Easter are 2 days that were manufactured, as Brother Frank had talked about earlier, and had nothing to do with the resurrection of Christ. I got a call I want to take. Thank you for being patient. I had to get that in. Good morning. Welcome to Pathways to Truth Radio. I got a call from area code 704, extension 294. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Oh, man. That's a powerful revelation throughout this morning, man. I just want to kind of piggyback on what you guys are saying. In the book of Colossians, man, as Paul has always had warned us in his letters, I'm going to read from 2 Colossians 2, verses 19 to 22. Paul tells us, it is a powerful chapter anyway, but he tells us, he says, "And not holding fast to the head," meaning Christ, "from all the body nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you die with Christ on the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations?" Verse 21, "Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of man." Why, if Christ Jesus was resuscitated, we still handle things by man? I tell you what, I commend you guys, man, because this is a power of revelation. What you guys are saying, we said that those so-called Christians and sometimes even believers, but we still do the same things as the pagans do. Shame on
us.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
That is the truth, my brother. You know what I mean? The same exact thing, because what happens to us is that Nobody want to go against the grain. Everybody want to go against the crowd. This is what everybody else is doing, so it must be right.
Amen.
And you're right, man. Shame on you, man.
No, thank you for that, brother.
Thank you for you guys. This is powerful. Man, it's enlightening. Truly enlightening.
We appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
Hey, Nick, I got one last thing, man.
No, man, you're good.
Okay.
Take your time.
Brother John just sparked us to, when he was reading that, it connects with what you had said earlier also. All this stuff is intertwined and interconnected in the spirit, so the spirit of truth, and so that God will be exalted in everything that we do. But you said something peculiar early on, Nick, that ties into this also, about what Jesus said, that he can use, the only example that he can use is the one of Jonah. When I came across that years ago about Jonah and understanding Jonah and what Jonah did and how it relates to what Christ did, is what God was wrothing in the earth so that we may have understanding of what's going on. So I got the revelation that Jonah, when he was in that ship, the Bible says that the ship was like to be broken, but Jonah was down inside that ship asleep. Okay, Jonah was down in the belly of the ship asleep, and it was a terrible storm going on, and the Bible said that the ship was like to be broken, so the ship was breaking up. The storm was so bad, and all the people on the ship was afraid, and the ship master was trying to keep the ship afloat. So what he had the people to do is to go up on top of the ship and cast off wares. They was trying to lighten the ship up, so they were throwing stuff overboard so the ship won't sink, because water was getting into the ship and the ship was heavy. So they was casting off the stuff from the top of it to try to help to keep the ship afloat. Well, they was wondering why God was so mad and what was going on, and they found out that Jonah was in the belly of the ship asleep. So they went down there. The shipmaster had to go down there and wake him up. The shipmaster did it. So when he woke him up and Jonah came and found out what was going on, he said, I know where the problem is. See, the problem is, the problem was Jonah, who was asleep down inside. The problem wasn't that the ship, that the stuff that was up top that they was casting off, that wasn't the problem. The problem was Jonah, he was asleep inside. So I know by that revelation that most of our problems is not what we are portraying on the outside. It's asleep down inside of us. See, the shipmaster need to wake up, old sleeper, that's sleeping down inside of you. Your life is messed up because there's something asleep down inside of you that need to wake up and need to be cast overboard. But see, Jonah said, only thing you have to do to stop the storm from raging is to cast me overboard. Well, they started pulling straws in order to do it. To pulling lots in order to do it, to cast him, who going to throw him overboard? But ended up, Jonah just jumped. He just jumped overboard himself. See, some of us, our lives are so messed up, we are just casting off wares. We don't need somebody else to throw us into the situation or throw us into rehab or throw us into this place or throw us into that place or throw us out. We need to throw ourselves overboard. See, when Jonah went overboard and into the water, the storm ceased. So the problem with Jonah, the problem was asleep down inside of him. The problem wasn't the people or the shipmaster or the sea. The problem was Jonah. Okay, now what Jesus is saying is that the reason why God getting ready to destroy this earth, and this earth is in peril and it is shambles, and it's because, look, Nick, he was asleep. Look, he had to wake up Christ and wake up him so that he could cast him overboard, but Jesus didn't allow the people to cast him overboard. He cast himself overboard.
Yeah.
See, so the earth was like to be broken. So it's symbolic of what Jonah was doing. Jonah was in the storm. Jesus was in the same storm, but God had to put Jesus in the belly of the earth instead of the belly of the ship.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Awesome.
So now we have to realize the resurrected Christ. So he's saying that this is the example that I can use about me and what's going to happen because I'm casting myself overboard. You're going to live. Wow. What a revelation about the resurrected Christ.
That's awesome, man.
What a revelation about your own personal life. Stop casting off wares and find out what's sleeping down inside of you and wake that joker up so that you may live. Whoo! See, it's a reason you riding around with trash all in your car. And it doesn't faze you. It's a reason why people are hoarders. It's a reason why you got all that food in your refrigerator that you don't eat, that you end up throwing away. It's a problem going on inside you. Look, smoking, drinking alcohol, strung out on crack cocaine is not your problem. Your problem is asleep down inside of you. See, those things are casting off wares. You just showing those things, making people think that you strung out on crack, but crack ain't your problem. Oh. Look, Nick. Understanding the resurrection is your problem, but you going to church with an Easter suit on. You dressing up your problem. Thank you, God. The King of Glory, the Lord of Lords, our Father, our Redeemer. We thank him for his grace and his mercy. I thank you, God, for waking up, old sleeper in my life, and allowing me to throw myself overboard so that I may live because of the resurrected Christ. God, we honor you. We give you all the glory. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you, God. We honor you. We bless your name. We thank you for this show, Pathway to Truth, God. We thank you that we can reach out to others, God, in truth. We thank, Father God, that we can point others to you, and we can just get them to you, God. And we can just convince somebody to trust you, Lord. We thank you. You know, we don't seek no fame nor glory, Father God. We just want the people to get connected to you, Lord. Be in a relationship with you, Lord. Father, help them realize that if they would just get connected with you, they don't need a pastor or nobody else, Father. You gave us the Holy Spirit, God. We thank you. Nick, man, hey, man, I'm done.
Hey, we appreciate y'all for listening today. We thank you for the revelation of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for heartfelt prayer that Brother Frank just poured into us, and we pray that you go back and study your word, meditate on it, and then live it. Peace be unto you. We're not celebrating Easter. We're celebrating the resurrected Christ and his ability to lead us to eternal life. I hope you guys have an awesome week in the Lord. Be strong, believe in yourself, and don't be afraid. Peace and blessings.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Earlier this week, Claire Tippins shared a princess nickname generator, 3 pictures of her dog wearing a tutu, and 2 online quizzes, including, what candy is your dream castle made of? Claire, your sharing has tipped the sugar scale and turned into oversharing. But have no fear, princess. Geico has something worth sharing with your internet kingdom, like how you can save hundreds on your car insurance just by visiting geico.com. No magic wand required. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.